What a great time to be together. What a great time to be alive. Isn't it?
Yes.
I'll tell you a true story about my child. When I wake up in the morning, I always wake up in the morning to about 12 ounces of water. Before I even get out of bed, I have 12 ounces of water. And when my son Jesse was about 6 or 7, he was in my room when I woke up. He says, "Dad, you want some water?" And I go, "Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks, son." So he got me a glass of water and I drank it down. He goes, "You want another glass of water?" And I go, "Yeah." So he ran in the bathroom, got another glass of water. I drank it and he goes, "Dad, do you want another glass of water?" I realized I didn't hear the faucet. So there you go. It didn't harm me. You know, God's category of people is Jew, Gentile, and what?
Church of God.
That's it. And if you really break it down, it's believer or unbeliever. Right? It's a fantastic thing to remember. It'll keep you out of a lot of soup mentally. It'll help you a whole lot. I know it's helped me. We're a family of God. It came up in the prayers today, and it came up in manifestations. We're a family. Now, do you always get along with your family? No. But do you do your best to work things out and work together? Yes. I was thinking of this because almost everyone here that is of Latin descent, they're related. It's unbelievable. Now, if I'm lying, correct me, Emilio. 33 Floreses and relatives that are here? That are here. Did Milagros leave? Of course you did. Emilio, are you here? The other Emilio? Where in the heck is all the Floreses? They all left. But I just think it's so cool because in the Word of God, when a family member would get in the Word of God, usually it was the man, the whole family got in the Word of God. When I moved to New Jersey, Milagros, ¿cuántos años? No, that's all wrong. How many Floreses are there? 33. So, okay, thank you. That's enough. All right. So when I got to New Jersey, I was telling somebody today at lunch that it was like, it seemed like everyone was Italian. And their whole families were in the Word. And I thought, man, how cool is that? That is just so awesome that we belong to such a tremendous family. So it has nothing to do with what I'm going to teach on. And I don't even know if I'm going to teach on what I was going to teach on. But family's quite something. It's quite remarkable. In Ecuador, where's Gina? She here? Did she come? Gina, there you are. How many of your relatives are in the Word? No, there's more than that. You should know that. Huh? I can't even wrap my head around 17 kids. It's fantastic, though. It's so cool. You guys that are married have a lot of babies. No, I'm just... Who here does not have this book but would like it? He sent his word and healed them. Who here? You don't have it? Huli? Come here, Huli. I'm going to give you this book.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, what I want to teach on tonight is accept what we have. I gave her that book. She did what? She accepted it. Go to Romans 10. I am not paying for that book, Harbor Light. unless you start paying me better. Romans 10, verse 9, it's because of everything that Jesus Christ accomplished that we could believe this, these verses. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what?
Saved.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And we have Holy Spirit now. When we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we got born again. We have Holy Spirit. It's called Christ in you. It's called the inner man. It's called the inward man. It's called the new creation, and it's called a few other things. We have Christ in us from the top of our heads to the tip of our toes, and what a privilege that is. What part of us do you think is going to live the longest? Is this a guess? I mean, what this old bag of bones, someday the Lord Terry is going to fall asleep, for crying out loud. It says everlasting life. It says we're saved. Once we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, at that time we become what Colossians says, which we read earlier today. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Let your fingers do the walking. Colossians 2, verse 10. It says, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Once we believe that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, we become body, soul, and what?
Spirit.
And that spirit makes us completely, completely, absolutely complete in him. And once we've accepted this great offer that God has given, somebody read John 3:16 today, you know, whosoever believeth on him, that's the greatest invitation ever given to mankind. Whosoever. You could be black, you could be white, you could be Asian, you could be Chinese. I guess Asians are Chinese. Whatever, how many other species there are, man. It doesn't matter. Whosoever. And I think even me, I could get born again. Wow. Go to 1 Corinthians. It makes us complete. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Thanks for letting me teach. It's an honor every time I have the privilege of teaching. It's a huge privilege, and it's also an incredible responsibility to make sure that we rightly divide God's word, because that's what brings people together, or should bring people together. Not the show, not the vernacular, not how many jokes, not someone's sterling personality or lack of personality. It's the word. I'm me. When I got in the word when I was 18 years old, I wrote down on a sheet of paper that I wanted to be the best Jerry Carr I could be for God. Now, I'll never accomplish that goal, but I didn't want to be someone else. I wanted to be me. So that's what you got tonight. So like it or lump it, but it's going to be the word of God. That's for sure. Chapter 2, verse 12. Let's just get the story straight. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, praise God, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. Wow. The reason we have spirit is so that we can know the things that we have been freely given. Freely given. Freely given. That we could know the things that we've been freely given. The word know means to see, to notice, to pay attention, to examine, or to behold. When we got spirit, God wants us as believers to know, to examine, to pay attention, to observe, to inspect, to behold the things that have been freely given to us. That's what he wants us to know. The reason he wants... I read it. But the Spirit, which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And then it says, even those, these things, are, that's what we're supposed to speak. God really wants us to pay attention to the things we've freely been given. Freely means to do a favor for. You think God did us a favor, or did we do him a favor? Which way did that work? God gave us great favor, grace. It means to be gracious and kind. It means to give freely with no strings attached. There's no strings attached. It's fantastic. He's freely given to us. God really wants us to accept those things. Accept them like they're yours. You know, accept them like theirs. You know why? Because they're yours. Everything we've been freely given is ours. And he gave those things to us, not because we were good, but because of his kindness, because of his grace, because of his mercy, because of his forgiveness, and a lot of other things. A really huge part of the renewed mind is accepting what God has freely given to us. Not just to accept, but to know, to inspect, to examine, to observe those things. It's a really big part of the renewed mind. So let's look at some. 1 Corinthians 1, we're there, practically. Verse 30, it says, "But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." The word righteousness in the book of Romans alone is used 35 times. That's a lot of times to be used in one book. And we read it, and first verse we read was Romans 10, 9, and 10. "For with the heart man believeth unto what?"
Righteousness.
That's the right state, fulfilling all the claims that are right. It's giving us full access to God. It's the ability to stand before God without any sense of sin, guilt, condemnation, or shortcoming. I don't have time to condemn myself, nor do you. First of all, it says there is therefore now no condemnation. So there isn't any. I can't change what I did yesterday. I can't change what I said yesterday. I can only say I'm sorry and move on. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. The other sorrow just kills you, it says in the Word. So don't condemn yourself. That's one of the biggest life suckers there is in the whole world. It's one of the things the adversary attacks beautiful believers on. People with big hearts are the most vulnerable to condemning themselves. So don't allow yourself to condemn yourself. Help yourself by reminding yourself that you can stand before God without any sense of guilt, any of that stuff. See? And that's one of the things that God wants us to know. He wants us to inspect. He wants us to observe. We have the righteousness of God. I don't even understand how righteous that is. Go to chapter 5 of Corinthians. But it's pretty righteous, isn't it? Verse 21. 1 Corinthians 5:21. There is no 1 Corinthians. Oh, that's why. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Thank you. It says, "For he hath made him," Jesus Christ, "be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we," and that the reason is that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we're to notice, we're to pay attention, we're to observe, we're to examine, we're to inspect, that we have no more condemnation, that we can stand before God just righteous as the noonday sun. Another thing we are, and you know, where did I learn this great research? Power for Abundant Living by Dr. Werwill, the foundational class. He taught us that there were 5 sonship rights. Now, there's more than that, but those are the ones that he taught, and those are the ones I want to hit upon tonight. We're also sanctified. It means you're set apart from one way to another way. We've been set apart from the world to our Heavenly Father. That's pretty cool. Can you imagine? We ought to imagine. We ought to inspect. We ought to observe. We ought to pay attention. That we've been set apart. I'm not the same cluster that I was. I'm a new man in here. Way in there. Verse 30 of chapter 1 again. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. There it is. Sanctification. I'm sanctified. I'm set apart. Man, what a privilege. I'm set apart from this goofy world. We're also redeemed. We have redemption. It's and Patty, boy, his teaching today was just so great, wasn't it? Let's go to a verse, shall we? Oh, it's the same verse. In verse 30 again, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Redemption, again, is the releasing effected by payment of ransom. That sounds too fancy to me. But our salvation was paid for by who? Jesus Christ. And because of his payment, we are no longer dead in trespasses and sin. We're no longer without God and without hope in this world. We're alive. We have hope. Man, what a hope we have. Example that I always use is kidnapping. And Patty touched on this, but I wrote down, we were kidnapped by the world and made free by what Jesus Christ paid for completely. We're free. No longer, no fetters on us, no bondage, no garbage. I love that song, "This World Is Not Our Home." We live in this place, and I get a kick out of this world because I don't look at it like the world looks at it. I look at it as an opportunity for somebody to hear God's word, to see God's love, to hear God's peace, to hear how they've been made free, to see if people are interested. I am absolutely blown away. And I'm pretty sure I speak the word every day that I'm outside of my house to someone. Not because I'm going out witnessing, but because it's my life. And I want to bless people with God's love and God's peace. Whether they come to fellowship or not, that's up to them. I don't care, really. That's not my responsibility. That would be whose? Theirs. Oh, God's, yeah, okay. Anyway, it's such a joy to be able to live here, to make this place a little brighter by sharing love. You know, it's awesome. We're also justified. We're justified. And Dr. Worrell described this in a really great way, I thought. You'll never see it in a Bible commentary, but justified never what? Sin. Just as if I've never sinned. A lot of times it's the same word for righteousness. Most times it's the same basic word. And it's the act of God declaring men free from guilt. Free from guilt. Free from guilt. Fully accepted. Can you imagine being fully accepted by the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one that put this thing together? What a privilege. Romans 4, verse 25. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification, or when we were justified. Look at verse 1 of chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we're justified by faith, we now can have peace. And man, if anybody needs to walk in this peace, it's us, because it's something God gave us freely, which we'll get to in a little while. But whew, we have peace. 2 Corinthians 5 again. These are tremendous, tremendous rights and privileges. And I know what people can do that have heard the word a bunch. They go, yeah, I know that. Okay, great. Put a brownie point on you and have a nice day. But these are the very essence of our walks and our lives as believers. It's a foundation. I've never taught anything new. I don't know how people come up with all these crazy new stuff. I'm still working on the Bible tells me so and stuff like that. And I'm going to continue that until the day I die or Jesus Christ comes back. So in verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. He reconciled us by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of what?
Reconciliation.
To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You know, if we're committed to an insane asylum, we're going. Thought I'd share that. I've been doing research on that one. But we're reconciled. And you know, reconciled basically means you change from one way to another way. And in our case, we've changed from death unto life. From the power of Satan unto God. You know what? The foundational class of Power for Abundant Living's theme verse was? Anybody know? No, it was not. Read the green card again. Acts 18:26. Why don't you read it, Kelsey? Stand up. And that's something that's really a cool thing to realize. Not that it was the theme verse, but the verse itself is just incredible.
Acts 26, verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me.
Thank you. What a tremendous purpose for the class. To turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan and the God, and we're looking at a lot of living examples right here that have done that in their lives because of God and his word and what we've been taught. You know, we've been changed from death into life. We've been changed from being hopeless to having great hope. A lot in there, boy. There's so many things in God's word that we've been freely given, that God wants us to know. He wants us to inspect. He wants us to examine. He wants us to observe. He wants us to learn the things that we've freely been given. I mean, isn't that more fun than being intrigued and focusing on the things of the world and the negatives and all that stuff? If you continue to see the things that God has freely given you, when you look at other believers, that's what you're going to see. Not their flaws. Heck, that's stupid. None of us are perfect and odor-free. We're also, yeah, I know, it's great. But there's so many things that we've been freely given. So many, many things. And he wants us to know them so that we can be blessed, so that we can be happy. Somebody just taught on that. I forget who. Was it Joe? Who taught on blessed? Oh, was it me? Oh, it was me, yeah. But, you know, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Things we've been freely given. You want to talk about some incredible things that we've been freely given. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 11. Most of you know these things, but man, oh man, we should remember them. We should inspect them. We should observe. We should examine. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers or kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he, the man, wills. Well, When I speak God's word to people, I am overwhelmed and blown away that everybody doesn't want it. I'm shocked every time. I've been in the word 52 years. I'm shocked every time. Who doesn't want peace? Who doesn't want hope? Who doesn't want salvation? Who doesn't want to live a life that's more than abundant? Oh man, it just shocks me. And then to think that we have all these manifestations, every single believer has the ability to operate these. And I think that our willingness to operate these things should grow. We should have great expectation that not only acknowledging that the Bible says we have them, but to put it into practice, because it's the power. It's the power, man. When somebody observes and sees somebody get healed, man, that's a manifestation of God's manifestations. Speaking in tongues. Some of the benefits, it's perfect prayer. It edifies your spirit. You magnify God. You speak the wonderful works of God. Who wouldn't want to do that? Tongues with interpretation. They're giving to the church words of edification by way of exhortation and what?
Comfort.
It settles us down when we, golly, when, you know, even here, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, and before every time I teach, and I don't care if it's 3 people or 3 million people, I get so nervous, and I don't know, it's like a sports nervousness to me. You know, I'm ready for the game, I know what I'm going to do, but I'm cranked up, and you hear those manifestations, and it just settles your heart. Yeah. Word of knowledge is your operation of the God-given ability whereby you may receive from God certain truths or facts which are humanly impossible for us by our 5 senses stupidity to know anything. Now, I know many of you, especially young people, have the superheroes. And it seems like the superheroes keep adding on. I don't know if they were always superheroes or because of the popularity, you know, they've done enough Spider-Man, so now we have to have Flash, whoever Flash is. But is there a Flash?
Yes.
I thought there was a Flash. Ant-Man? Who heard of Ant-Man? I don't know from these. But a lot of young people love superheroes. My goodness gracious. To be able to hear from God certain truths or facts that you'd never think of. It's very difficult because the world we live in bombards our brains with facts and so-called truths that sometimes it's difficult for you or me to accept those things that are outside of those truths and facts. But God wants us to, and He's made it available. Word of wisdom. It's your operation of the God-given ability whereby you can receive from God by His revealing it to you what to do in a given situation once you've ascertained or been told the certain truths or facts. See, boy, what to do. It's one thing to know what's going on. It's another thing, what do I do about it? God will let you know. Finances. Marriages. Helping people. By counseling with them. He'll let you know. He'll let you know. Not only will He let you know, He'll let you know what to do. And all these things are to help people. What good is it that I stay in my little hut, closed up, knowing all this word, and you don't take it out? That'll do you good, but nobody else. Stop. Get your light out of the bush. What does it say? What is it? Don't hide, whatever it is. I don't know. Discerning the spirits is your operation. Now, boy, think of how big of a deal this is. Your operation of the God-given ability whereby you may receive from God by his revealing it to you the necessary information concerning the presence or non-presence of spirits. And if evil, whether you could cast them out. Man, that's it. You can walk anywhere in this world and you walk with God. He'll let you know, get out of there. Or he'll let you know, get them out of here. I mean, I've seen both many, many times in my life. Or something's funky in your fellowship, really funky, and that funk continues. Could be a spirit. Might not be, but could be. And if it is, maybe you can get rid of it. See? God's made that available. You want to talk about power? That's power. And it's also something we've been freely given. It doesn't take, you don't have to be a Greek expert like myself. You just got to say, hey, this is what the word says. Okay, let's do this thing. Faith or believing is your operation of the God-given ability where you may believe to bring to pass the impossible at your command according to what God has revealed to you by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. And you know, I don't know where this crap started, but it was a while back where somebody, evidently in authority, said, believing doesn't inspire believing in others. Well, I got news for you. Believing does inspire believing in others. Have you ever read the Word of God? have you ever been inspired by reading stories of Jesus Christ and him delivering people? Yes. Believing doesn't inspire believing in others. You ever read the book of Acts? It's not the book of thoughts. It's a book of Acts. It shows how they acted. They show us what they did, for goodness sakes. So it does inspire believing in others. Working of miracles is your operation of the God-given ability whereby you may, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the manifestation of believing, bring to pass miracles according to what God has revealed to you by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Miracles are things that happen just like that. Just how long did it take salvation? I mean, once we were born again, how long? I mean, I don't know. Nobody put a timer on it. But man, we believed. We believed. We believed, and we got born again. Somebody gets healed just like that. That's a work of miracles. Gifts of healing is your operation of the God-given ability whereby you may, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the manifestation of believing, bring to pass healing according to what God has revealed to you by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. Look how awesome this is. This is God's word. God gave us these manifestations so that we could benefit and that we could benefit others. Heteros and allos. There's the Greek for tonight. It's pretty awesome. And he gave all those manifestations to us freely. Freely. He didn't require anything of us except getting born again. And he wants us to know. He wants us to observe. He wants us to examine. He wants us to inspect. He wants us to see these beautiful truths that he's given us. Man, oh man. He wants us to pay attention to them. And we should absolutely have confidence that we have all these things. We do. Whether we have confidence in it or not, we do. It pay us, really help us and help others if we just said, yeah. Like she took that book. She accepted it. Accept what you got. We'll see a lot more signs, miracles, and wonders if we do. Look what else. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. You know, in the book of John, we ain't going to go there, but in the book of John, chapter 13, Jesus Christ said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. That just doesn't mean the people in your particular fellowship. But it does include the people in your fellowship. And he said, as I have loved you, do the same for other people. And he said, that is how people are going to know that you're my disciples. Come back, Lord. So in 1 Corinthians, you read about this love of God. We didn't do anything to deserve this. But God, by his grace, his mercy, when we got born again, he loved us so much. Now, I know how I was, and God still loved me. I know how I still am, and God still loves me. We should do the same for each other. Chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not the love of God, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy, gift is scratched, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, that's a lot of things. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not the love of God, I'm nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burnt out and have not the love of God, it profiteth me nothing. I got so blessed again as we came here to this place, actually the night before, watching the believers here and how hard they work with a smile on their face and love in their heart. It makes an impact. It makes an impact. Any monkey could be trained to do this stuff. But when it's done with love, it just does something to a place. And then the day whenever the is today Saturday? So yesterday when we came and set up and stuff, and just to see all the people that helped and did it with the love of God in their heart, you know, it just makes a whole different impact than just getting the work done, so to speak. Because if you don't do it with love, it profit me nothing. That's what Paul said. Love of God suffereth long. It's kind. Love of God envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. It isn't looking for me, me, me. Me, me, me. No. You want to be miserable? Be me, me, me. That's the worst. Thinking of yourself all the time. Good Lord, read Psalm 77 and 73 someday. Yeah. Tremendous. Tremendous word. Asaph the prophet, he looked within, he was so miserable, it was incredible. He looked without, it was terrible. And it was until he looked up that he got deliverance. He remembered what God had done. He remembered all these things. So, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. You don't get mad all the time. Gosh, when a person's mad all the time, that puts off something, doesn't it? Whether they show you that they're mad or express that they're mad, being mad is just not fun. Thinketh no evil. It doesn't come to the conclusion of evil. It's not, otherwise, I've had people go, well, it thinks no evil. No, there's no evil. Well, wait a minute. Then why did God give us discerning of spirits? That don't make any sense. Thinketh no evil. Doesn't come to the conclusion of evil. Jesus Christ was a master at separating the sin from the sinner, the problem from the person. He loved the people. Look at the man in the Gadarenes, or you know, you could go anywhere. He loved those people. Somebody mentioned Mary Magdalene today. Who was that? Patty, of course. You know, she'd had seven devil spirits. She was there. Jesus Christ loved that lady. And boy, we need to love the unlovable, because we were unlovable and we were loved. It's pretty cool. I don't know what verse I'm in. Oh, beareth, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Jesus Christ said in John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is what?
True.
That's what's true. So we rejoice in the truth. We beareth all things, and the context is the truth. Believe all things concerning the truth. Hopeth all things concerning the truth. Endures all things concerning the truth. Love never what?
Fails.
Man, it looks like it sometimes. Sure does. I've had my heart stamped on so many times. It's okay. It never fails. It never fails. And this is something that God, by his grace and mercy, has given us freely. To be able to manifest it to one another. To be able to just love each other. Boy, outside of the written word of God, I've seen nothing that's healed people more than the love of God manifested. There's something to it. You know, we did one of these advances a few years ago. This person wasn't able to sleep for, he couldn't sleep. He didn't have a good night's sleep for like 10 years. And I remember, I was at a break or something in that advance. And we locked eyes and just looked at him. And as I walked by, I just touched his shoulder and I moved on. He got healed instantly. I didn't know. But he wrote me this letter and it just blew my mind. And that had to be love, because I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything. Love of God's so powerful. It's so healing. It's so tender. I don't know anything greater. I really don't, other than the written word of God. And man, oh man, that again is something that God has given us freely. And he wants us to inspect it. He wants us to observe it. He wants us to examine it. He wants us to pay attention. Pretty cool. Let's go to Galatians. You know, if we believe who we are, if we believe and accept what we've been given freely, then, man, oh man, our lives change from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. Our lives actually change. And if we accept those great truths, and we believe them, then fruit happens in our life. Verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Chapter 5, 22. Goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. This is the fruit of the Spirit. When people walk into our homes, they should just know that love is there. And they will if love is there. You ever walk into a house and it's just there's tension everywhere? That's because of whoever's living there for some reason. It's tense all the time. When they walk into our house, they should feel like the closest thing to the gathering together. Love, joy, all these things are the fruit of what you have been given freely in Christ. Love. Here it means tender affection or to cherish. And this is basically God's love in manifestation, where you actively manifest God's love like you do here. Joy means gladness. It means happiness. It means delight. When people see us, they don't see burdened down people. They see people walking like, you know, they're on cloud nine or something. Peace. What a tremendous thing we've been freely given. Peace. I come from the San Francisco Bay Area like George does and Steve Zalesi. And, you know, we were there at the height of hippiedom. And what a great concept. You know, love. What else was there? Peace, yeah. Love and peace, you know. And because it had no foundation, it fell apart quickly. Gave way to drugs and rock and roll and sex and venereal disease. It didn't last long. It was a nice idea, it was a good feeling, but there was no depth to it. The love of God, there's a lot of depth to that. And this peace means being tranquil. It's harmony between others. It's the absence of all strife. It's untroubled, undisturbed well-being. And it's forgiveness enjoyed. I love that definition that Bollinger gives. Forgiveness enjoyed. Where you actually not just acknowledge that you've been forgiven, but you really, really know it. There's a peace to that, man. Condemnation won't help you with that. Accepting, examining, inspecting, observing, all those things, God's peace will really manifest itself greatly if we accept what God's given us. Long suffering means long before you get angry. Patient, it means endurance. Slowness in avenging wrongs. Slowness in avenging wrongs. And it means forbearance. Gentleness is kindness. It's fairness. It's consideration. I love that. Faith is a firm persuasion. Conviction, upon which is based on God's word. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by one thing. That's how we do it, man. You want to increase your believing and so on and so forth? Increase. Who shared on confessing the word? Patty. Yeah, that sure turned me on, because that's something. You know, I recently broke my back, and it was a trip. I'd never been in an accident, so that was a trip in itself, but it hurt. I didn't know what that meant. I mean, it hurt. That kind of hurt. Believe me. So, cop comes, emergency, I'm speaking the word, and I'm like, oh, God bless you. Emergency room. I don't know. I just spoke the word, mainly to myself, but if anybody was around, they're going to get it too. You know, to just stay your mind on God really helps heal you. It helps deliver you. It helps. Man, I don't know, and I'm no super believer. I'm not a Superman. I'm not a blazer or whatever they call a ferret. What is it? Is a ferret a superhero yet? That's the next one. Ferret Man. That's pretty good. I like that. Ferret Man. Dun, dun, dun. Watch out for that ferret. But believing, it's a firm firm persuasion. It's conviction. You know, God and his word are the standard. That's the confidence that we have in. In this flesh dwelleth no good thing. Meekness. And it means to be gentle. And I don't know. You know, if you've seen these guys or watched, and I'm sure you have, from especially you guys from other places, and how they treat each other, and it's just a dang good thing to see. It's nice. They're gentle. Most of them are. Just kidding. To be gentle, it's to endure things with an even temper. It's free from haughty self-sufficiency. Like, I'm all that and a heart attack. You know, watch me. I'm a badass with the word, man. I'm the king. That whole king thing, yeah, you can have it. It's not good to be king, like Mel Brooks said. Meekness is free from haughty self-sufficiency. It's tender of spirit. It's mildness. And temperance is self-control. It's the grace by which the flesh is controlled. So we're redeemed, we're sanctified, we're justified. We have the ministry of reconciliation. We're righteous. We're born again. We've been given so many free things from God. And God really exhorts us to examine those things, to observe those things. We've been given the manifestations of the Spirit, tongues, tongues with interpretation, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of ferrets. Discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and healings. And we have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, and all those things, gentleness, faith, meekness, and temperance. We've been given all those things and a whole lot more for free. And that's really what God wants us to pay attention to. When our lives manifest this great fruit, this is what draws other people to us that have any remote interest in God. It'll draw people to you. A lot of people know what the Bible says more than me, that's for sure. A lot of people can quote you scriptures. A lot of people can tell you all 212 figures of speech and the 40 different varieties under one figure. I cannot. But I wonder how much good it's doing them in their walks, in their lives. Sometimes I wonder that because you don't see the sermon. You hear it, you don't see it. You know, I would rather see a sermon than hear one any day. Remember that great Edgar Guest poem? It's a great poem. But a lot of people know what it says, but they don't manifest the love, the joy, the peace, the gentleness, the goodness, the long-suffering, the temperance, and all that. It's good to know what God's word says. I'm not saying that. And we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. I know all that. But the way I learned the word of God, here's what I did. When I took the class, and some of you did too, we were given 52 real small, what we call collateral readings. How many got those back in the day? Yeah, a few of us. And I would take one, and if there was something that I could apply in my life, I wouldn't look at another one until I did it. And boy, what a great, that really helped me learn. I don't even know how I thought of that. Helped me learn the word, and it helped me be able to share the word. Because Ezra 7:10 says, Ezra sought the Lord. What does it say? Sought the Lord. What does it say? Ezra. What? Ezra 7:10. Somebody read Ezra 7:10. To seek the law. I got it. To seek the law of the Lord and to do it and then to teach it. And that's the right way to teach. Seek God's word first, then do it. Then you can teach. Then you can really teach. But if you just seek the word and teach it and don't have any experience doing it, it's still the word, but it won't have the impact as that if you live it. Got it? And a lot of people know the word, but what good is it if there isn't love, joy, peace, etc., and all the other things, people accepting what they've been given. So we want to manifest what God has given us freely. And there is great love and there's great power manifested to those that believe what they've been given freely. Tremendous power. The Word of God says in John 8:32, this is the last verse, it says, "And you shall know the truth," and this was shared today too, "and the truth shall make you" what?
Free.
Truth of God's word, believe, makes a person free. True freedom, true power, true love, true deliverance come from our Heavenly Father who's given us so many things to manifest freely. So that's what I wanted to share. Bless you.